Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Did you read the obit of Sally Ride in the Times this morning? Here's an amazing section. Quote, speaking to reporters before the first shuttle flight, Dr. Ride politely endured a barrage of questions focused on her sex. Would spaceflight affect her reproductive organs? Did she plan to have children? Would she wear a bra or makeup in space? Did she cry on the job? How would she deal with menstruation in space? CBS News reporter Diane Sawyer asked her to demonstrate a newly installed privacy curtain around the shuttle's toilet. On The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson joked that the shuttle flight would be delayed because Dr. Ride had to find a purse to match her shoes. At a NASA news conference, Dr. Ride said, "It's too bad this is such a big deal. It's too bad our society isn't further along." All of those words from the New York Times obit of Sally Ride today. She certainly did her part to help move society further along, even if she had to put up with those sexist questions. So let's take a moment to remember the first American woman to fly in space, who died yesterday at the age of 61. Laura Helmuth is science and health editor at Slate. She wrote about Ride this morning. Hi, Laura.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
And listeners, if you want to pay tribute to Sally Ride in any way, the phones are open for a few minutes, 212-433-WNYC. I'm curious if you are maybe one of those women, at the time a girl, who was inspired into science or even space by Sally Ride. 212-433-9692 or anyone else. And Laura, you write this morning that Sally Ride was the Jimmy Carter of ex-astronauts. What did you mean by that?
Well, I mean, her career after she retired from NASA was really spectacular. She helped NASA analyze the Columbia disaster and the Challenger disaster, which, you know, were just awful panels to be on, and helped NASA figure out what it had been doing wrong. She helped plan the human spaceflight future. But I think even more importantly, and I think partly in response to all the sexism she endured as an astronaut, she really devoted her career to encouraging kids, and especially girls, to go into science. And her foundation still runs camps and training sessions and festivals and, you know, fun things about science to destigmatize it, I think, and encourage girls to get involved in science. And she's just been much, you know, some of the ex-astronauts have you know, had some kind of shady, you know, subsequent careers, but hers was really spectacular.
Here is Sally Ride from a 2008 documentary talking about her being first as a U.S. woman in space in her own words.
I didn't really think about it that much at the time because I just wanted to get the opportunity to do that. But I came to appreciate what an honor it was to be selected to be the first woman to get a chance to go into space.
And you're right, Laura, about the fact that it took until 1983 to have a female astronaut, just emphasizing NASA's nasty history of sexism. And the Russians in the space race beat us by like a decade, right?
Yeah, they actually beat us by 20 years. Yeah, Valentina Tereshkova went up to space in 1963, and then the cosmonauts had a second woman in 1982. So it wasn't even close. And it didn't have to be that way is the thing. Early on in the Mercury program, a group of 13 women were in the early stages of training when NASA pulled the plug on that program and said, no, we will not have women in the space program. And they redefined what the prerequisites had to be to train to be an astronaut. And they said that you have to be a military jet pilot. So all these female pilots who weren't allowed in the military were disqualified. And there were congressional hearings and, again, a bunch of jokes about how ridiculous it was that women should go into space. So and this was in 1961. So the U.S. could have been a leader, and instead, you know, by the time 1983 came around, it was really too late.
Lisa in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How you doing? Love your program.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I'm very blessed to have lived this time to where I was able to see a woman to be the first astronaut. to see a woman do things that, like the sister was just saying, only men can do. You know, she broke that barrier, and I'm just blessed that I, you know, we used to always say, Sally Ride, you're going to be like Sally Ride. You know, that's a little bit newer. And, but, you know, we were talking about being the first, doing something that only men did. So I do pay homage to Miss Ride, and God bless her family.
Lisa, great call. Thank you so much. And a great example of the inspiration of Sally Ride. Eric in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi there. That was so exuberant, your last caller.
Absolutely.
I loved that call.
Me too.
She is a heroine to all of Americans. And one of the sidebars in the Twitter feed this morning was that she left behind a 27-year female partner. And I don't think that information was on the airways yesterday, and I haven't heard it yet. And I didn't know that she was one of our leading gay icons of the time. And, of course, if she was private about it, that wouldn't have been the case. Now in her death, I think we can all celebrate her as a early gay heroine in American history.
Eric, thank you. Did Sally Ride kind of get outed by her obituaries? Laura?
Well, it's interesting. Some of the past stories about her had mentioned a long-time companion, not precisely those words, but it was between the lines. But she was a very private person, and she specifically forbade NASA from selling any products or using her name or her likeness for any promotions. And it was, I think, a big deal for her in her Sally Ride Foundation, the educational foundation. It was basically the only time she would allow her name to be used promotionally was for the sake of getting kids invested in science. So I think she was very private. I wouldn't say that she was closeted. I don't think that's the case, but certainly this was the first time that most of the public ever recognized her relationship.
With Tam O'Shaughnessy is mm-hmm. her name, to give her more humanity, an individual with a name, Tam O'Shaughnessy, who also worked at the Sally Ride Science Foundation. Analda in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, good morning. It's great to be on again. I relate to her in what I think is a very small way. I was the very first female firefighter in my town, and I remember at 23 when she became the first female in NASA to go into space. I just thought that was, yay, another barrier that we've broken, another time when we've been told only men can do something. And it isn't true. Women bring our own unique and amazing gifts and abilities and talents to these positions that have long been the stronghold of just men.
Analda, thank you very much. Was that in Montclair, by the way, that you
yes.
became a firefighter? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Oh, that's great. That's so nice to hear. And it's funny about firefighting. And that's one of the it was another endeavor that had a huge barrier towards women entering it. But the thing about firefighting, the argument there was always, well, women don't have enough upper body strength to carry, you know, fire victims down a ladder, three stories. And that, you know, there is a certain logic to that. But the interesting thing about being an astronaut is that space is the one place in the world where the only inherent difference between, you know, on average, men and women, upper body strength, just doesn't matter. There's no gravity. You don't have to lift anything.
There's so no such thing as strength in space.
That's right.
And I love the stories of how influential Sally Ride was around New Jersey, from Newark to Montclair, as we've just been hearing. One little tidbit before you go. She played tennis for Stanford. Mm-hmm. I only learned from the obituary, and became the team's number one women's singles player and was nationally ranked. And it says Billie Jean King urged her to quit college and become a professional tennis player, though she did not take that advice and continued to study physics. How about that?
I love that story. Yeah, it's great.
So Laura Helmuth, science and health reporter and editor at Slate, she wrote about Sally Ride this morning. Sally Ride, America's first female astronaut, who died of pancreatic cancer yesterday at the age of 61. Laura, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.